And what we've done is really given our organization that first step into generative AI, but with a very restricted amount. So we provide her the documents that she can read and she can generate information for us. She can't go out and search the internet and let you know what the weather is in Orlando right now.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Julie Smith, the Corporate IT Director of Clinical Applications and Support at Baptist Healthcare. For those who don't know, Baptist Healthcare is headquartered in Pensacola, Florida, and comprises three hospitals, four medical parks, a complex network of primary care and specialty clinic practices, and an institute for orthopedics and sports medicine. We have an interesting topic to discuss today. We're going to be discussing alleviating clinician burden with the creation of help desk tickets that leverages Gen AI technology. So, Julie, thanks for joining us, and please let's dive right in. Tell me a little bit about Cassie.
Cassie is our newest team member. I always ask people if we can introduce them to Cassie. Cassie stands for the Clinical Application Support Interactive Bot. So she is called Cassie by those of us who know her well.
And tell me about the genesis of Cassie. What was going on at Baptist Healthcare prior to the introduction of this Gen AI tool? And what were some of the problems that Baptist Healthcare was facing?
So we had, when we implemented our current EHR, we had contracted for a third-party EHR support vendor for help desk, specifically for their product. And as we were watching the SLAs and getting the reports every month that comes in, what I noticed is that I was seeing hold times of 2 and 3 minutes. And, you know, max wait times and then how long it was taking to get some of those tickets even opened, right? And we all know that our clinicians, their focus is not on calling a help desk. It's not on trying to resolve a problem that they're having. It's all about the patient care. And they have more work than, you know, they usually need. And so I started thinking about how can we take that off of their plate? I've been looking at reduction of burden overall. I think most healthcare systems have, but that was one that I really wanted to tackle and take away. So that was really where it all started.
Got it. And just so our listeners are clear, these help desk tickets are with clinicians requesting support within their electronic health record, which is Epic. So there's some kind of issue that is either requiring immediate assistance for patient care, or they can't close out an issue. And they'd be waiting on the phone with the patient in the room for sometimes you said 3 minutes for somebody to get on the phone and just listen to what the issue is. And it would take even longer to resolve these issues, correct?
Right. I'll correct one thing. We're not on Epic. We are on Altera Sunrise throughout our enterprise. But otherwise, yes. And they may or may not be with a patient when they're making those calls. Sometimes it's an education question. They just need to know how to get past a step that they're working on. And sometimes, you know, they might get an error. So it does kind of just stop their workflow in its tracks.
Right. Okay. So you have an issue and then, you know, your team comes around and says, well, you partner with Microsoft 365 and we've learned about Copilot Studio. And you have some ideas about how Gen AI could augment the internal help desk and move away from a vendor help desk. Can you talk about the workflow with the vendor help desk and how you propose to make this a budget neutral request to leadership so that they might be amenable to this suggestion?
I'd be happy to. I'll also mention the fact that, you know, at first, our first thought wasn't, oh, well, we have Microsoft and we can use Copilot Studio. That would have been so much faster and easier if we had gotten to the solution that quickly. But really, it was trying to find out, you know, asking ourselves, having conversations, what is the fastest way? And the fastest way was they just need to give you a couple of pieces of information. How can you get a hold of me and what the problem is? And then just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And that's where the thought of the bot came on. As you mentioned, we wanted to do we needed to do a budget neutral approach. I mean, we all see that in healthcare and have for several years, how critical it is to manage that budget. So I wanted to start by looking at our current vendors, and did they have something that they could help us with? As you mentioned, of course, we have Microsoft 365. And so we took a look at what they had to offer. And then we also had to understand, well, if our providers are still calling a third party service desk outside of our walls, then is the chatbot going to do as much good as we'd hoped? And we came to the solution that it's not. We want to bring that clinical service desk actually back in-house, and we can talk a little bit about that as well. That's in a compliment to Cassie. But then we took a look at how can we build this Copilot Studio bot. And we went to the vendor. Vendors are supposed to be our partners. How can we do what we need to do in the most efficient manner? And we were looking for somebody who could partner with us and help build the bot, because we wanted to roll this out and in full from the beginning, making sure that we skipped any hiccups when we rolled this out to our clinicians.
Got it. And so you were able to develop Cassie, this clinical application support interactive bot. Tell me right now, how is Cassie interacting with your internal help desk right now from the perspective of a clinician? So can you walk me through an actual storyline of, I'm a clinician, I'm in the patient room, there's some kind of issue, and my patient's sitting right here, what do I do?
We have within Citrix right now, but soon, and I say soon, within the next week, we'll actually have a launch point directly within their EHR, so that it is within their workflow, that they can select this to launch Cassie. It already knows who they are, so because you know we work with Microsoft already, it says, hey, we know that this is who you are, this is how we can contact you, this is your email address. And then it just gives them simple options. The options are, do you want to open up a ticket? We all know physicians are busy, so we've also offered, do you want to open up a ticket on someone else's behalf? So that office managers, charge nurses, anybody who might be working with them, maybe some of their support staff could go ahead and do that for them as well. So they could open up a ticket or they could search for additional information. All they do, okay, so let's say I have a problem. I'm trying to prescribe a controlled substance. We have to go through EPCS for that. I'm getting an error, and so I need to open up a ticket. The nice thing is that Cassie knows who you are. So she already knows that you're a physician. And so it actually gives me an option. Do you need to open up a ticket? Yes. Is this for general clinical information or is this for EPCS? It's for EPCS. Give me your contact information. At that point, they may actually put in their office manager's name or number. That's fine. We understand, again, they don't want to be on there long. And then they just let us know in a sentence or two what the problem is. So two clicks, my contact information and a sentence, and within 20, 30 seconds, they're back in their regular patient flow.
Got it. Or they could even stick their head out of the patient exam room and say, hey, you know, office manager, nurse, whoever happens to be around, would you mind going into Cassie and opening a ticket for prescribing controlled substance? And then Absolutely. They could do it on a clinician's behalf. It's just a 10-second request to a colleague, and they can go ahead and do it. Even though they don't have the prescription authority, they can open the request on behalf of the requesting provider.
That's right. Now, if it's a general, how do I use the system? Maybe they're newer, they haven't used controlled substance prescribing very long. Cassie does have the ability to search through all of our education documents. We have hundreds of education documents. So if she says, if the doctor says, oh, I just need a little bit more information, that's great. What do you need information about? He or she types in EPCS and it says, here's all the information we have on EPCS. What can I help you with? So self-serve, I don't have to call somebody and wait for a call back.
So many of our listeners listening to this episode may be wondering, I love this new technological solution. It seems to expedite things. It seems to solve a real problem. It's budget neutral because it's replacing an external vendor call center that you've now gotten rid of. and scaled back and you brought some more stuff in-house. Leadership likes it. They've approved it because it is budget neutral. But the next question that a listener may come up with is, can we talk about change management and provider adoption? What has provider responses been like? Anecdotally, what sort of feedback have you received? I know you've done a soft rollout, but you know, maybe promotion is still on the horizon. How have you been managing kind of adoption of CASI? And has there been any pushback at all saying, hey, we're used to this other workflow, how are you're changing it on us? Has there been any difficulties or challenges with implementing CASI?
That's a great question. We took the approach of really a marketing approach. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we gave her the name CASI. We've also, for adoption, mm-hmm. Used an AI avatar vendor, third party. We just subscribed to it. We're able to put in some scripts. So it's engaging. So when we have announcements over what's coming out new in the EHR, if we do have maybe a scheduled downtime, any kind of plans, we give that to them in an engaging way. That has helped. Again, they're busy. Sometimes they don't want to listen to even a 1 or 2 minute video. Overall, they've accepted it because it's if they love it, use it. If you don't, go ahead and call the help desk. You still have that workflow option, or turn to the next person beside you. So from a physician standpoint, we haven't seen a big uptick in adoption, but I'll say our soft rollout was about a month ago. So mm-hmm. we're very, very new into this. Where we have seen a great deal of adoption is in our physician clinics. So the support team that they work with, as you mentioned, the doctor leaning out and saying, hey, I'm having a problem, call the help desk. Mm-hmm. Those are the team members that we're seeing a lot of it. And today, actually this week, we are taking the time to round on our nursing units. Mm-hmm. Our nurses are busy. They don't see emails. You know, they're worried about their patients. And so we're going out to them. Mm-hmm. And when we round, we also mention it too. I told my team, you know, oftentimes we'll get a phone call as a clinical application support. And sometimes we say, well, have you opened a ticket yet? I told them from now on, what I want to hear, if they say, oh, I don't have a ticket, say, did you tell CASI? Because CASI will open up the ticket for you.
Right. So there's two things I want to follow, kind of tie up this this case study here. One is, I understand that there are some metrics for measuring CASI's effectiveness that may be presented at HIMSS in the future. Can you tell me something about what you're thinking about and how you will evaluate the effectiveness of CASI and how your leadership will be evaluating certain KPIs that you're collecting pertaining to this intervention?
Yeah, thanks for that, Jordan. We did just submit a proposal for HIMSS 25 next year down in Las Vegas. And what we're hoping to be able to give is a very robust amount of KPIs around the use of it. We already know that it is saving minutes every time a physician needs to open up a ticket, because we specifically tracked when we had one of our providers opening up tickets. We wanted to know specifically what was their wait times. Everybody's wait time is important, but of course we focused on those. We know that the wait time has significantly decreased. We're continuing to do studies on that. Mm-hmm. Currently, when they send in the information, they tell CASI what the problem is. CASI opens up a ticket. Initially, it's going into a queue to be reviewed, mm-hmm. but very soon our plan is that will directly go to those teams. So it's gonna directly go to the clinical team. It's not just clinicians using this. It might be anyone who's in patient access, registration, or in other areas. So they can pick where this ticket needs to go, and it doesn't have to stop in a queue. It can actually get to the person and get assigned quicker. So those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at, is how we can expedite the help to everybody who's using CASI.
So in addition to measuring the effectiveness of CASI, as I mentioned earlier, you know, with the kind of change management efforts, I understand that you've spearheaded efforts as a primary leader for a carousel of change for EHR optimization that has included collaboratively working with physician specialties to customize the platform for their specific workflows. Can you tell me about the origins of this carousel of change and how you've used it in other projects, and then how you brought it to bear in the CASI project.
Yeah, the Carousel of Change has been around at Baptist for several years, mm-hmm. And it's because there is such a clamor for optimization of the EHR. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants what they're using optimized. And so what we wanted to be able to do is to be able to focus on specialties. You know, anyone who works in the EHR realm knows that you can't customize every document for every provider or every order set. So what we've done is we've taken that carousel, the specialty gets to come on board, talk to us about what are the pain points, maybe what's been underutilized, what they're spending the most time on. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to optimize those in sprints. And mm-hmm. once we have that optimized, then they get off the carousel. We let the next specialty on the carousel, and it's their turn to go around and get optimized, and then we come back around.
And were you able to leverage the Carousel of Change at all with CASI, or was CASI the product of the Carousel of Change? Was there any interplay between the two?
CASI is really more across the entire organization. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't say it's necessarily connected to the Carousel of Change. It's really connected to that decreasing clinician burden. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned change control. So I do want to go back to something you mentioned earlier we haven't touched on, which is generative AI. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes to AI, you know, anybody in IT and healthcare IT is talking about AI in some way. Of course, you need to have governance. We do have a steering committee when it comes to AI. With CASI, we were able to take the generative AI. Of course, we spoke with compliance. We spoke with our security team. We made sure that there wasn't any concerns in what she was able to generate. And what we've done is really given our organization that first step into generative AI, but with a very restricted amount. So we provide her the documents that she can read, and she can generate information for us. She can't go out and search the internet and let you know what the weather is in Orlando right now. But she can, however, tell you what the directory is. Do you need help for biomed support? All you have to do is ask her, what's the number for biomed? She'll let you know what that is.
Got it. So she has a limited pool of data upon which the machine learning algorithms are trained that are defined specifically by the governance, compliance, and security teams.
That's right. And that's the first step. That's where we are right now. You know, I think that just talking in general, not necessarily specific to CASI or our health system, you know, you get to stair step that in based off of governance, based off of how comfortable people are. So you might want to start with, like we are, a very distinct library of information. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we upload, we have two or three documents. Anytime we have new information that needs to go out through those documents, we take that through change control, just like we should. Mm-hmm. And it's great because the generative AI, we can upload information. When is our next upgrade? What are we doing for hospital week this week? Even questions such as that, the general information can be uploaded to her. But I could see the next step being something that might be a resource for our clinicians that they already use, and letting it look at that website. And I'm kind of hesitant to go out on a limb and say any vendors, because it's definitely not why I'm here. But, you know, we personally use, you know, a vendor for education and clinical knowledge. Being able to maybe the next step, take a look at, can we allow CASI to use that website with peer-reviewed information on it? That might be the next step, but we're not there yet.
So if you were to just look in the future towards what could be done with Gen AI at Baptist Healthcare, beyond help desk tickets, it sounds like you might be looking for educational purposes to pull in marketing information, look at peer-reviewed academic medical journals. I have this particular patient in this specialty practice, and I heard that there may be a study here, but is there any other clinical trial that my patient may be eligible for? Do you know, are there any kind of thoughts towards a roadmap of an interoperability roadmap to pull in different kinds of data sets and give that CASI access to different kinds of data that either that may not live within the EHR?
Yeah, Jordan, I hope you will come back and ask me that a year from now. because we, you know, we really are so new to rolling Cassie out. I think she has been extremely successful, and those that have started using her use her every day. I think where we can go is, I don't want to say limitless, but possibly. I think all of those examples you gave are perfect examples of where I would love to be able to get to. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on, and this isn't specific to Baptist. I don't want to make it sound like it is, but, you know, what I've heard, and I love this as I'm rounding in the hospital, you know, I have people saying, oh, this is great. Can we get a bot, or can we just put our information in Cassie? Hey, can we get a bot that we, you know, can put out, you know, HR information? And so people are asking me questions, and I love that it's making them think about it in a way they never have before.
So as we approach the end of this podcast episode, and you're talking about how other people are reacting to Cassie, I'd like you to speak to our listeners for 1 minute and just, you know, what are some of the lessons learned, or what do you think is one thing they should be aware of as they consider bringing Gen AI to their clinicians in their own organizations? What advice do you have?
Oh, gosh, anybody who knows me knows I can never just have one point, right? I would say make sure that you are in contact with your security team, your IT compliance. Make sure that there aren't questions that are abounding that maybe get ahead of where you are, and stay on top of that, but also encourage those questions. And so we are also partnered with a vendor. And one of the things I looked for in that vendor is I wanted them to teach us, right? I didn't want a vendor that I needed to attach to and then, oh gosh, they need to be here and they need to support us forever. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to say, hey, let us teach you how to do this so that you can support yourself and you can build and you can expand on your co-pilots. And so that was something that I would encourage as well. The more you know is the more you know.
Sounds like a pathway to independence, a vendor who teaches you how to fish instead of giving you a fish.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. For our listeners, this has been Julie Smith, the Corporate IT Director of Clinical Applications and Support at Baptist Healthcare. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jordan.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.